This morning's message is from the Old Testament for a change. I don't preach out of the Old Testament enough, but I could not resist this story because it means so much to me and my life. It's the story of Abraham and Isaac and God's call to sacrifice his only son. It comes from Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 through 14. I had a video that was going to show the story, but we couldn't quite tweak it enough to get it presentable for the big screen. So the word will have to be read this morning. Some years later, God decided to test Abraham, so he spoke to him. Abraham answered, "Here I am, Lord." And the Lord said, "Go get Isaac, your only son, the one you dearly love, and take him to the land of Moriah, and I will show you a mountain there. You must sacrifice him to me on the fires of an altar." So Abraham got up early the next morning and chopped wood for the fire. He put a saddle on his donkey and left with Isaac and the two servants for the place where God had told him to go. 3 days later, Abraham took off in the distance and saw the place. He told his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while my son and I go over there to worship. We will be back." Abraham put the wood on Isaac's shoulder, but he carried the hot coals and the knife. As the two of them walked along, Isaac said, "Father, we have the coals and the wood, but where is the lamb for the sacrifice?" "My son," Abraham answered, "God will provide the lamb." The two of them walked on, and when they reached the place where God had told him about, Abraham built an altar and placed the wood on it. Next, he tied up his son and put him on the wood. He then took the knife and got ready to kill his son. But the Lord's angel shouted from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham!" "Here I am," he answered. "Don't hurt the boy or harm him in any way," the angel said. "Now I know that you truly obey God, because you were willing to offer him to your son." Abraham looked up and saw a ram caught in its horns in the bushes. So he took the ram and sacrificed it in place of his son. Abraham named the place, "The Lord will provide." And even now people say, "On the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. What's luck got to do with it? Was Frank Selleck lucky or unlucky? Listen to this story about a man you've probably never heard of from Croatia. It's hard to tell after hearing this story whether he was lucky or unlucky. In 1962, he survived with only minor injuries, a train wreck that killed 17 other people. In 1963, the cockpit door of the plane he was flying in blew off. 19 passengers were killed. He landed in a haystack, by the way, with only minor injuries. In 1966, he escaped unharmed from a bus crash that killed 4 people. In 1970, his car caught fire, and you guessed it, he escaped unharmed. In 1973, he lost most of his hair in a car fire. In 1995, he was hit by a city bus, but walked away with only minor injuries. In 1996, he drove his car off a cliff, trying to avoid an oncoming truck, and landed in a tree where he watched his car burst into flames. And then, in 2003, oddly enough, Frank Selleck won a $1 million lottery in Croatia. Selleck is quoted as saying, "I know God was watching over me all these years." Was he lucky or unlucky? In the words of Clint Eastwood, "Do you feel lucky today?" Personally, I don't believe in luck, but sometimes I have to catch myself saying things like, as I'm sure you've said, "Good luck," or "Lucky you," or "That was a lucky catch." A lot of people today are feeling lucky. Like many of you, a lot of people are cutting back on certain expenses, like eating out, downsizing their gas-guzzling cars, bigger homes. They're taking staycations. That's a vacation at home, by the way. in case you didn't know, instead of some exotic getaway. But one thing people are not cutting back on is, guess what? Gambling. Lottery tickets. The dream of hitting it big in these tough economic times is just too alluring for some folks. Instead of looking for good, sound financial advice from a financial advisor, they go down to the local Quick Stop or Uncle Willie's or ShoreStop or whatever, and they buy a handful of lottery tickets. According to a 2009 USA Today report, more than half the states with lotteries, including Delaware, saw a drastic increase in sales at the height of the economic downturn, the fourth quarter of 2008 and 2009, which continues today. Did you know that the total revenue from state lotteries jumped by $1 billion in 2009? $1 billion. I guess in desperate times, people do desperate things, don't they? Like put their faith in Lady Luck instead of good, sound financial advice. One man, his name is Albert Atwood from Nashville, Tennessee, spends $100 a week playing the Pick 5 and the Lotto Plus down there. He's quoted as saying, "I suppose I'd be a lot better off if I saved this money, but we all have dreams, don't we? Somebody's going to win. I just hope it's me." $100 a week in lottery tickets. And that's probably conservative. Have you ever looked at the odds of winning on a lottery ticket? You ever seen what the odds are? 18 million to 1 is a conservative number. Did you know that the odds are 2 million to 1 to get struck by lightning? You're more likely to be struck by lightning than to win the lottery. It's easy to see why some people believe that gambling is a tax on people who can't do the math. Think about that. What's luck got to do with it? What's it got to do with today's scripture lesson from Genesis about Abraham? Abraham could have thought of himself as a pretty lucky guy, like Frank Selleck. Abraham was chosen out of all the millions, perhaps billions of people on the face of the earth when God called him to be the father of our faith. Talk about hitting the jackpot. God said to Abraham, "I will bless you and make your descendants into a great nation. You will become famous and be a blessing to others. I will bless anyone who blesses you, but anyone who curses you, I will curse. Everyone on earth will be blessed because of you." Keep in mind that Abraham was in his 90s, and his wife Sarah was in her 70s, far beyond childbearing years normally. Paul even refers to Abraham as good as dead in one of his epistles. The idea that they would have a child made both of them LOL. That's laugh out loud. How lucky could someone be? It'd be like hitting the Powerball lottery. What's luck got to do with it? Abraham would soon find that luck had nothing to do with his wealth, with his prosperity, or the birth of his son that he had waited 90 plus years for. Unlike the Canaanites living all around them who worshiped many gods, they were a pantheistic society. God did not go around doling out blessings and curses, good luck and bad luck like other gods. Instead, Abraham focused instead on being obedient and faithful to God and trusted implicitly in God's providence. The Bible says that God one day decided to test Abraham. Test Abraham. I don't know about you, but I did not care very much for tests in high school. You had to actually study, which did not go well for me. You had to open the book. And there was also the risk of failing the test, wasn't there? But as I got older And as I had to go back to college at age 40 for the ministry and then on to seminary, I realized that tests were a good way to see if I'd learned anything. Tests made me think and learn. Remember, Abraham had been walking with God for a long time at this point, but God decided it was time for a midterm exam for Abraham. What was that test? God said, take your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains that I will show you. Take your son, Isaac, and offer him as a sacrifice on the altar. Can you imagine how that pierced Abraham's heart to take his only son, the son of promise, and take him to offer him on the altar? It's interesting, though, that Abraham does not argue with God. He doesn't say a word. He gathers his donkey, some provisions, some hired hands, Isaac, and they head off to where God has told Abraham to go. But after 3 days, Abraham says to his hired hands, stay here with the donkey. We will be back. We being him and Isaac, will be back. And that's strange coming from a man who's been told to kill his son. It appears that as hard as it must have been for Abraham, Abraham was trusting God in this situation because he had trusted him before, and he was trusting again that God would provide. They walk up the mountain, just the two of them, Isaac and Abraham. But then Isaac starts putting two and two together. Did you catch that? He said, Father, we've got the wood, we've got the coals for the fire, we got the knife, but where is the lamb? Where's the sacrifice for the altar? And Abraham very calmly and very plainly says, God will provide the lamb.